All right, well, good morning, everyone. Thank you. It's very nice. You know, I am glad it's raining. We have needed the rain, but just personally, I've kind of enjoyed not having to cut the grass for a little while, so I'm not going to lie. I am also thinking about that. That's coming for me now. It's been a nice little break. But no, glad it's raining. And just so you know, how I plan on preaching is as long as I can still hear rain, I'm just going to keep going. So y'all don't want to go to your cars anyway. Let's keep on rolling. We'll just keep on going and see how long it takes. But no, you may have noticed from the introduction and the music behind it, as we get into this new series called Shattered, it's not going to be skipping through the daisies together, giggling the whole time. You may have got the feel for that right away. But as we came in this year, if you're new to this community, by the way, my name is Caleb, and I'm teaching pastor here. And Pastor Tyler and I are going to be walking together through this new series. But whether you're in their house or online, if you've been a part of this community throughout this year, then you know we started out in January saying that we felt like God had put on our hearts that while we were going to talk about a lot of things throughout this year, the central thing that we felt God wanted to work in us is that we would be centered around the idea of reconciliation. First of all, that we would be a group of people that are completely captivated by the work of God in reconciling us to himself through the work of his son, Jesus Christ. And that we also would be people who reflect that through the ministry of reconciliation in the world around us. In the midst of a world of brokenness and chaos, and as we said in January, we talked about cancel culture, that we would be a community that is marked by reconciliation, our reconciliation with God, and the way we engage with the world, that they might also be restored to him, and that also we would walk in healthy relationships with one another. Now, as we talk about that, we also have to acknowledge the reality that in some of our lives, as we talk about all this reconciliation ministry we're called to, in some of our lives are marked even right now by shattered relationships, brokenness in our life. Life has left us broken specifically in regards to some of the relationships that we have in our life. And over the next 4 weeks, here's what I'm asking. There are going to be discomforts that some of us will feel as we have to think about the difficult relationships in our life. But if we will be willing to not retreat but lean into it, I believe that 4 weeks from now, we won't have fixed everything, but we will have a God-designed, a scripture-shaped view of how to take steps forward in our life and in our relationships, even with those who have most hurt us, most wounded us. So most of the time today, I'm going to disclaimer here, most of the time today, we're going to focus on the most beautiful relationship in our life. And man, it's coming down out there, isn't it? I've got 60% of your attention, all of you. 40% of it's on how much it's raining. All right. We're going to spend most of our time focused on the most beautiful relationship in our life, the relationship we have with God. But right now, for just a moment, as we start the series, I want you to think about the most painful relationships in your life. The ones that you'd so wish were marked by joy and restoration and peace, but they are not. Maybe these are people who have hurt you, wounded you, or who are currently hurting you. Maybe they're people that you have hurt or wounded, people that have given up on you or you've given up on them, whatever it might be. I want you to think about those for a minute. And I want to say that when we come to Jesus Christ, what I love about it, you know, sometimes we do church where we only kind of bring the best part of ourselves to each other. We bring the best part of ourselves to church. We think we present the best version of ourselves to God, but that's not what the scriptures show us. Christian community, a community gathered around the person of Jesus Christ, is a community marked by allowing Jesus access into the dark abyss of our own brokenness. That he runs into that space right with us and brings the light of his truth and his grace into that place. So I want you to think about those relationships. We've all got them. And, you know, maybe you currently are in a place, like in this room and online, in this kind of size of a church community, we've got people who are currently feel shattered because of relationships that are broken in your life right now. And that's going to be hard to engage with over this time. Also, in this church family, we're going to have people who, you've got relationships in your past that you've dealt with brokenness in the past, and you kind of have moved on, but as we talk about it, you may find there's some residue of that brokenness still there, or there might be, there's a fracture there that you just kind of learned to live with that might get messed with. God might put pressure on it. But whether either one of those are you, maybe you don't relate to that. The reality is every single one of us is called to be a brother and sister to people in our community that we're to walk alongside in the midst of their own brokenness. You know, human instinct, when we're wounded deeply by the people in our lives, human instinct is to do one of three things: avoid, give up, or retaliate. So we avoid, we just ignore it, I'll just ignore it, I'll get over it, I'll just move on, I'll pretend it's not there, even though it is still there, that brokenness in that relationship. So I'll keep on sitting at the family table with my parents, I'll keep going back for, but there's something broken that just stayed there, and it's been there for 20 years, and we just haven't dealt with it. So I'm just gonna ignore it, and I'm gonna avoid talking about it. Second thing we can tend to do is we give up. Say, you know, forget them, I'm over them, I'm just never going to go and interact with them again because that thing's never going to be fixed. And the third is we retaliate. We get back at them. They wounded me, I'm going to find a way to get even with them. I'm going to hurt them. But as we look at the scriptures and as we follow this man named Jesus, what we end up seeing is there is a fourth and better way. The way that God calls us as people to be honest about the brokenness around us and in us, and yet to move forward with him. So we're going to look at that together. Now, I can think of multiple times in my life where I felt completely broken and shattered. And I have relationships right now in my life that are not where I wish they were. But the time I most think of is when, and I've shared this here before, when I was young, a young guy, I was abused by someone that was part of a trusted family in my life. Not my own biological family, but a trusted family in my church community. And I ended up being abused by someone. And when that happened, that relationship of trust became a relationship of pain and of hurt. And it wounded me. And from that shattered place, I felt helpless and hopeless to move forward. And I'm sure some of us have felt that way as well. And the reason I felt helpless was really, the reason I couldn't move forward is really I was stuck in two things. One thing is I withdrew from other people. Because there was a sense of which for me, again, that brokenness included for me shame and feeling like damaged goods. And some of us have that. People who we love and trust that have wounded us and have left us feeling like we're stained with the shame of what someone that was supposed to make us feel safe has done to us. Someone who was supposed to love us has wounded us and we feel marked by that. And I felt that, so I retreated from others because it kind of felt like I was the only one marked in that way. Now, we know the reality. All of you would have told me, hey, Caleb, you're not the only person that's been mistreated as a child, been molested or whatever it may be. You're not the only person. There's other people. You're not alone. But the reality is that the human feeling is I'm alone. And I want to withdraw and not be known by what's broken in my life. And the second thing I did is I withdrew from God. I withdrew from God because though we try, we can know what's in the Bible, there is this way in which when we look in the mirror, we kind of think God thinks about us what we see when we look at us. So I withdrew from him. God, this is messed up in my life. This is broken. And so I just distanced myself from him. God, you must see me the way they see me. You must see me the way I see me. So I withdrew from the Lord. And we are going to talk over the next 4 weeks about some ways to get intentional about walking forward when we have the shattered relationships in our life. But today we're going to deal with those two root issues that keep us from moving at all. Isolation from others and isolation from God. And so here's all I'm going to say about the first thing. You're not alone. You're not alone. I remember we were talking about families a year ago here. About, I don't know, last year was like a time warp. Maybe it was 2 years ago, for all I know, because there were people in here, I remember it. And we're talking about families, and I said, God works with broken families, because that's the only kind of families he has to work with. And God uses broken people, because that's the only kind of people he has to work with. The reality is that whatever pain you are feeling due to brokenness of relationships in your life, you're not alone. And that's not only true about being in this room. For 2,000 years, people have been following Jesus. And at this point, the number is in the millions of people that have gathered, whether under a shelter somewhere, in an underground, like in a home hidden away, or in a cathedral in Europe. Millions of Christians have gathered together. And you know what's been true in every single one of those rooms? There have been people there who felt shattered by relationships that were broken in their life. They'd been shattered by life, and they didn't know how to move forward. You're not alone. You are part of a community that is bigger than this room. It spans all over the globe, and it spans for 2,000 years through history, and it's all been marked by people walking with pain, who come together to this gathering or come to Jesus, and they're still bleeding from wounds that they've experienced from those that they most trusted and loved. So you're not alone. You're not alone. We'll be talking more as we walk through about the need to be together in order to walk through times of pain. But now I want to focus in on our relationship with God. See, the earliest Christians that we read about even in the Bible, in the New Testament, we can sometimes make them very non-human. They become sort of like these mythical superhero creatures, like that run around and never have any problems or whatever it might be. But the reality is they're human beings. And so whenever you read something in the New Testament and you think about who were the people that received that letter from Paul, for instance, like we'll read today, you need to think these are human beings. They were fully acquainted with relational pain and anguish and rejection and heartache and grief, turmoil of relationships, fully acquainted with those things. And for them, Paul writes to them, like today we're going to look in Ephesians. The Christians in Ephesus, they've become Christians over the last 15 years of their life. And when they became Christians, they got to add to the relational heartache of their life. Because when they became followers of Jesus, that meant saying no to the family idols that they'd all been worshiping for generations. It meant being kicked out of their homes and family gatherings, rejected by their communities, mistreated, mocked, and even persecuted by the people that had been their friends before they began to follow Jesus. These are people with pain. When Paul writes to them, I want you to notice what he draws their attention to first and foremost. As people with pain trying to figure out, where is the anchor of my life? Where is the sure footing on the slippery slope of human existence? And I want you to notice where he's going to draw their attention. We're going to read from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. He says this: "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Because we are united with Christ, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes." Paul knows who he's writing to. He knows he's writing to a community that is just as diverse, maybe more diverse probably than we are in this room. Diverse past, diverse present, diverse ethnicity, diverse religious backgrounds, diverse pain of relationships. And the first thing he points them to is what God has done for them through Jesus Christ. Before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. So here's the first thing. And all we're going to do this morning, as people where some of us need to be reminded, how do I move forward when I feel so broken? I'm just going to let Paul remind us of what we all need to be reminded of. And here's the first thing. It's this: that God loves us, God chose us, and he does not see us as damaged goods. Where do I get that idea? Well, it says, without fault in his eyes. That's crazy, y'all. I mean, I don't know about you. I can think of a long account of my own faults. I have a long list. If you got out your list of sins, I bet you I could compete with anybody in here. The best sinner in here, I could run a pretty good race with you, all right? We've all got faults, but yet what Paul says right off the bat is, listen, here's what you need to know. Here's what you need to anchor your heart in. God loves you. The posture of God towards you, even regardless of the posture of some of these relationships towards you, the posture of God towards you is one of love. Not only that, but he chose you. He chose you. He even says, long ago, like before you were born, God chose you. Before you'd done anything good, before you'd proved yourself to him, before you'd done anything bad, God chose you. And you are without fault in his eyes. When God looks at you, yes, he knows all that Caleb has done and all that has happened to Caleb. And yet he looks at me and he sees me without fault. I'm not a stained, scarred up mess before him. Through the work of Jesus, when God looks at me, he sees someone he loves. and someone that is not damaged, that is whole. And Paul knows that when he says this, it's pushing back on some of the baggage and effect of brokenness that people have experienced in this church community. And then he goes on, he continues in verse 5 and says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. Notice this. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. If you got your Bibles open, mark that. That is an emotion that God feels about the idea of making us his children. So Paul says, not only does God love you, not only does God look at you and not see you according to what has happened to you in the past, he sees you without fault in his eyes, but there's more to it than that. And it's this: God was happy to adopt us, and he's glad we belong to him. This is absolutely insane. God, the creator of the universe, he scans over the earth and adopts these people, this guy right here, and he wanted to. And it gave him great pleasure to adopt me as his child, that I belong to him. And you think about these, we all need to anchor our hearts in this. This is the gospel. What God has done for us through Jesus, and therefore what the resulting relationship is we have with God. We all need our hearts anchored in this. But how much more so when Caleb is shattered by relationships with those that carry a lot of weight in my life. And what are the things that I often feel? One, I'll feel baggage, and I'll feel damaged, and I'll feel like fault and shame to be reminded, God looks at me and he sees me without fault in his eyes. And when the people close to me that I want to belong to, I no longer do. It's broken and I feel rejected, abandoned, and isolated. And I am reminded, wait, but God is happy to call me his child. And he's desired to have me belong to him. Our hearts always need this. And especially when we're walking through these times of pain. And Paul, he, after laying that quick foundation in the very beginning of this letter, he keeps on going. And if you read through Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 2, you're going to see Paul just hammer away. This is what God has done for you through Jesus. And because of that, this is the relationship you now have with God. Over and over, he's going to hammer away at that. And in chapter 2, verse 18, he builds up and says this: now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. And when he says all of us, here's what he's talking about there: Jews and Gentiles. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this, but we haven't took a survey here recently at River Run to find out who's Jews and who's Gentiles. All right? Now, there are probably both in this room, but that's not what we worry about, but they were worried about it then. But here's what that's saying. When Paul's saying all of us, Jews and Gentiles, he's saying, whether you have been coming to synagogue for the last 20 years, you've been coming to religious gatherings, you know when to stand up, when to sit down, when to pray, how to say the right things, you quote the memory verses, whether you've been coming with your family for 20 years or you just stumbled in today and you are tattered and broken by this world and by things in your life that have shattered you, you all can come to the Father. All of us can come to the Father. Why? Because he was happy to adopt you. Because you've trusted in Christ, he with joy welcomes you into his family. And so we can all come to the Father. Paul continues to just hammer away at this. God is your Father. He loves you and he's glad you belong to him. And he culminates all of this, these three chapters of just going on and on about what God has done for us in Christ. And he says this: because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. Now, I'll give you context here. In Ephesians, what Paul is talking about is these Christians who heard the gospel, most of them through Paul. They love Paul. And they kind of feel like they don't know what they're doing. They're pretty new at this whole Christian thing. They've all become a Christian in the last 10 or 15 years. And Paul's their guy. And they've heard the fact that Paul has now spent the last 3 or 4 years in prison. First over near Jerusalem and now over in Rome. And they don't know when he's getting out of this house arrest. And they hear what Paul, their beloved pastor, is suffering. And Paul says, but listen, I don't want you to lose heart. But I think there's implications of this for any time that we might feel like we're going to lose heart, which, by the way, is just another way of saying, don't be hopeless. Don't give up. And what you notice here is the contrast here with losing heart. The opposite of losing heart, of giving up, isn't so pull yourself up by your bootstraps and be tough. Get yourself together. You mess. It's this. Come boldly and confidently into the Father's presence. See, here's what Paul is saying here. They currently have the pressure of wanting to give up, wanting to lose heart and become discouraged and hopeless. Here's what Paul says to them. The opposite of giving up is coming to the Father. It's coming to the Father. I'm really grateful for that. I'm really grateful for that. And again, Paul is writing this to a community like ours where there's a wide range of personal experiences that are currently going on in their life. And he doesn't address any of their individual things. Here's your 5 steps to having a better life. Here's 3 steps to fix your broken relationships. None of that. He says, here is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here is the love of God for you. And you know why he does that? Because Paul knows whatever might bring us to a halt where we don't know how to move forward, the only thing that's going to give us footing to be able to take the first step is going to be an understanding of God's heart towards us. And after he says all this, he gets to chapter 3 and he prays a prayer. So we're going to take the last few minutes today. I almost said tonight. Whoops. It's not nighttime yet. I haven't preached that long. All right? We're going to take the last little bit this morning, and we're going to focus in on this prayer and just let Paul kind of pray that for us and consider it as we go. In Ephesians 3, he starts off in verse 14 and says this, when I think of all this, now, you know already, I've been driving it home. When I think of all what? Everything, hey, we can keep going. Everything he's been saying. The last 3 chapters, when I think of all that Christ has accomplished for us, when I think of our position with God, his posture towards us, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Now, again, don't remove the emotion and humanity from the people in the Bible. Paul says, when I think about God's heart towards us, I fall to my knees. So when you hear him praying this, when you read this, think about Paul, the apostle, when he reflects on God's heart towards his people, on his knees, with deep emotion, praying for those who belong to Christ. And here's what he prays, that God, out of his unlimited resources, would empower them with inner strength. Now, I would underline unlimited resources if you got your Bible open. You might say something a little different in your versions, but this idea, because here's why. Some of y'all think you're really, really strong, right? Some of us, man, we got those. I'm going to lean into my resources. Well, here's what I want me to know, because I'm one of them. Your resources are limited. The amount of strength in your tank has a bottom point. It runs out eventually. And the source of this inner strength that Paul prays for these people, notice the source is not based upon the resources those people have. Because many of them, he knows, they are on E. The light is flashing and they got no fuel left in the tank. And he says, guess what? There is a better source. It's God. That he would give you inner strength through his Spirit. And he continues in talking about having strength so that we can keep moving. And he says this, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. And if I were you and you have your pen or something handy or whatever, mark that word trust as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down deep into God's love and keep you strong. Now here at River Run, we're going to be starting up again very soon. We have this discipleship small group thing. That's an amazing spiritual growth journey that we do called Rooted. And this is one of the passages we focus on in that. But I want you to notice what Paul says here. He says, Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him, and your roots will grow down in God's love, and that will keep you strong. So let me reiterate what I said already. The strength to keep moving forward when you feel like you can't, that strength doesn't have to come from you. In fact, it won't come from you. It won't. That strength comes from God. And the way to access the strength that comes from God is to trust him. And I'll tell you this, you will never trust someone if you do not believe they love you. You won't. You might obey someone when you're at work because there's consequence and you're scared. You might obey someone out of fear when you're in their sight, but you will not trust someone unless you truly believe that they love you. And Paul just spent three chapters demonstrating the deep and rich love of God. And he says, do you know how you can be strong when you're weak? Trust the one who loves you. And your roots will go down deep, and it'll keep you strong. And he continues this prayer, and he wraps it up with this. He says, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. His point is here to establish, if you try to measure the metrics of God's love, may you understand that there is no measurement you can do to wrap your mind around this. Because he says this, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. I'm going to direct your attention here. You will be made complete. When? When you fix all the relationships in your life and you fix all the brokenness, then you'll be complete. No. You'll be complete. You'll be complete when you experience the love of Christ. That word there, complete, means to be filled, to be satisfied, to be whole. Paul knows what those people and what all God's people, like he says, he knows what they need to hear, especially when life has left them feeling hopeless, when they have relationships that have wounded them deeply and they don't know how to move forward. He knows what they need to hear. Take your eyes for a moment off the broken relationship and look at the reconciled relationship. Look at the perfect relationship that God has toward you. And don't lose heart, but run to this perfect Father. And as you learn to trust him, that can give you sure footing in your life. Here's what Paul knows. He knows this, that when I'm shattered, the first step forward is a step toward God. When I'm shattered, when I'm broken, the first step forward is a step toward God. Now, that's an important thing to think about, because here's the reality. Especially when the brokenness is because of horizontal relationships we have in our life, it can very much feel like the only way to move forward must be the first step is I got to say something to them. I got to do something to them. I've got to get them to admit something or confess something to me. But Paul knows that. No, that's not going to help us move forward. In fact, sometimes that's just going to drive us deeper into this. The first step forward is a step toward the perfect love of our Father. And we would understand his love, and as we step into his love, that we learn to trust him. And as we learn to trust him, we can walk together with him through whatever is next. And just quick disclaimer for you is this, that I cannot guarantee that the broken relationships in our life, the ones that we wish would be restored, I can't guarantee that those will be fixed. I can't guarantee that the relationship with a family member or a close friend or whoever it is that's wounded us, or there's a brokenness and it causes anguish and pain, I can't guarantee that will be fixed. What I can guarantee is the perfect love of the Father. And in reality, whether we're currently feeling broken or not, if the wholeness and restoration of my soul is reliant upon a broken person saying or doing the right thing so that this can be fixed, if that's what me being whole is reliant upon, then I'm really living a very fragile life as it is. But if the sturdiness of my soul is reliant upon an unfailing, perfect love of a God who calls me his child, then even while I'm praying and seeking to see things fixed that are broken, my soul can be restored because the one who created my heart knows how to heal it. The one who designed the human heart knows how to restore it. We're going to sing a song of worship. And this song is King of My Heart. And I think it's familiar here. And there's a line in the song, and it says this: "You're never going to let me down." Now, let me just make sure we understand. That doesn't mean that you're always going to work things out the way that I want you to. Otherwise, we just make those the words. That's not what it means. What it does mean is God is absolutely committed in his relationship towards you. He is absolutely committed, and there will never be a morning you wake up where he changes his mind about his relationship with you. He will never fail you. And when my heart believes that, there is a steadiness to the water in my soul. There's a stillness that comes. The most important thing any of us can do in our life is believe and trust that God loves us. Let me pray for us, and then we're going to sing this song of worship. Lord, I know in my heart that this is really pretty simple words, but we need it. So God, I pray that each of my brothers and sisters in this room, that God, they would grow in their belief that because of Christ, you love them, you chose them, and you are so glad that you've been able to adopt them and call them your children. And God, I pray that for those who've been losing heart, they would turn and run to you instead. And that you would cultivate strength in our heart purely because we trust in you and your love for us. In Jesus' name.